On my way over to the office tonight, I was listening to Fox News, and they were interviewing Joel Osteen. He kind of the flavor of the month or year, I guess, over the last couple of years. He's if you don't know that name, he's one of the popular preachers of these days. I'm going to do some more. I'm going to read all the transcript when it gets online. But he was asked that you know, some of his critics say that he really doesn't say much about sin. He was asked about that. He said, "Why is it that you don't say much about sin?" Like, for instance, Billy Graham and so forth, who used to, you know, really, he spoke about sin quite a bit. Chris Wallace asked him, interviewing him, and he said, "Well, you know," said Mr. Billy Graham, "he was an evangelist, and he was dealing with calling people to Christ, but my job is to build people up and to let them know, you know, God is there, and God loves them, and everything's going to work out fine, and I've just got a different work." Well, bottom line was, he didn't say much about sin to people, and as you went on and listened to him a little more, if you're familiar with his work, you understand why. He went on to say that, "Well, you know, I don't get into a lot of those things because it's just going to divide people. You know, if you get into moral issues and you know, politicians and what they believe and what they're saying morally and the social issues, that's just going to, you know, you're just not going to have as much people listening to you anymore." And got me thinking about, well, that's you know, that's the common way of thinking about a lot of things religiously anymore. And I'm probably going to develop some more things about that, and we'll do some other studying, because that gets us away from what we planned tonight. But I think that illustrates something that that does go with our lesson tonight, that as we begin to talk about and think about this matter of falling away, and that is, sin is real, and we as the people of God need to be reminding ourselves that we can sin and be lost. And that while we praise and thank God for our salvation in Jesus, and we have confidence in that, and we'll read some of that tonight, yet it's very clear that Christians can so sin as to be lost. If we don't address the sin of our lives as we sin in the right way, we are lost. And it matters not that once in the past we believed and confessed and were baptized in water, if I now go and live my life like the world, I'm lost in my sin. And that's not a popular message in the world, for sure. And among Christians sometimes it's not too popular either. We want to have a message of warning tonight and of encouragement and exhortation to just remind ourselves that we can fall away. And we want to prevent that. An apostle could fall away. 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 27, the apostle Paul said, "I discipline my body and I bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified or reprobate, rejected, cast out." Paul said it was entirely possible that he, though preaching to others the gospel of Jesus, he himself could be disqualified. He could be lost. Now, if an apostle could fall away, is it rather presumptuous for us to suggest that we couldn't fall away? And yet that's the prevailing notion, that's the prevailing doctrine. That's the basis of much of what is taught. Though I haven't researched it, I suspect, just based on what little I know, that probably Joel Osteen doesn't talk about what the Christian could be lost once he's saved. He probably teaches the impossibility of apostasy, I suspect. Now, the Bible says, though, let's get a little specific. The Bible says not just that an apostle can fall away, and the Bible says I can fall away. And you can fall away. 1 Corinthians 10:12, "Wherefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall." Now, tonight I suspect if we considered ourselves, we would hopefully say, "I believe I'm standing. I believe I'm right with Christ." Now, it could be that there's sin in your life tonight that prevents you from saying that. And if that's the case, God urges you to repent tonight, to get right tonight. But and yet, generally, we would say, "Well, I'm standing. I'm saved. I'm a Christian. I'm following Jesus. I'm going to heaven." And yet in all of that, the apostle says, take heed, be careful, lest you fall. You may be standing today, but if you have an arrogant attitude of disrespect and disregard for God, you're going to fall. Now, Hebrews 3 assures us that any of us can fall. Any of us. All of us. Look at that. Look at the wording again. Hebrews 3 and 12. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. You can develop a heart of unbelief. I can develop a heart of unbelief. Every one of us are tempted and tried. Satan wants to distort and destroy our heart of faith so we fall away from God. It's a word, a cautionary word tonight, a word of warning, of understanding and exhortation that we, though confident in Christ, we can be lost if we don't maintain that confidence. As the reading goes on, you become partakers of Christ, verse 14 of Hebrews 3, before we go to that next verse. Hebrews 3:14, you're partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. So you say we've got to hold steadfast to the end. First John 5, verse 13, verse we read this morning, says, I've written these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. God wants us to know we're saved. But knowing that we are saved is not a license for us to sin. It's not, Christianity is not, well, I became a Christian and now, you know, God will get some of my time when I, you know, when I have time for God. You know, God will get some of my interest, you know, when I'm not interested in other things. No, that's not being a Christian at all. That's the attitude of the world. That's sinful. And we're going to be lost with that attitude. The Bible says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? We've obtained the grace of God through Jesus the Christ. Now, what are we going to do as Christians? Are we going to continue to sin? And say, well, God's grace is greater than sin. So, regardless of what I do, He'll save me because He's a good God. He's an ever-present God, like Joel Osteen would say. Oh, God's got great things in plan for you. Well, that may be. He does have great things in plan. But what's your plan for God? What are you going to do with God in your life? See, God's got great plans, but He's not going to plan to save you if you're not going to live for Him now. If you're not going to obey His gospel. If you're not going to have the faith we just studied this morning, and you're going to live by that faith every day of your life. We who died to sin, how shall we any longer live therein? Romans 6 and verse 2. Far from a doctrine of the impossibility of apostasy, Christians are taught that our confidence is because in Christ we are steadfast. In Christ He calls us to live differently from the world. That's where our confidence is. Diligent and watchful. Steadfast, not negligent, apathetic, and or proud or arrogant, and you know, pride and arrogance is the attitude that says, well, it doesn't really matter. That's an arrogant attitude. When God says it does, and I say it doesn't, I'm elevating myself above God. Christians can be lost. And we need to know that when we become a Christian, we're choosing to live away in a way that God's going to be pleased with, because we can fall from grace. Romans 5:2 says we stand in grace. We have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of God. So by faith we stand in grace, and we have hope, and we rejoice in that hope. Galatians 5:4 says, you are severed from Christ, you who would be justified by the law, you are fallen from grace, or fallen away from grace, severed from Christ. So this, the whole idea of falling or apostasy, of standing away from God, departing from the living God, Hebrews 3 and verse 12 and 13 says, that's the caution of the Word of God tonight, is to again remind ourselves as Christians, if we are not putting sin to death, if we are not growing in Christ, if we're not preventing apostasy, then we are ripe for falling and losing our souls forever. And God truly is a loving God, a good God, a God who has great things in store for His people. But you see, there's a lot of people being told they're His people and they're not His people at all. Neither have they become Christians in the Bible way, nor are they serving God as He desires and has commanded in His Word. That's the message Joel Osteen and many others are giving people. A false hope, a false message about false salvation. And people are just eating it up. That because it feels good. If God becomes whatever I want Him to be, instead of me becoming what God wants me to be. We can fall. We can lose our souls. We need to take stock of ourselves, that we stand in Christ Jesus. Ezekiel 18:24 talks about a righteous man who turns away from his righteousness. We just want to look, just give you a few verses. You may study this sometime with someone. You may want to teach this to someone, as well as again reinforce within ourselves these points. Look at this. It says that a righteous man, when a righteous man turns away from his righteousness and commits iniquity and does according to all the abominations that the wicked man does, shall he live? That's like Romans 6, 1 and 2, isn't it? The righteous man can turn away from his righteousness. Now, the false doctrine of you can't fall away says if you fall, you never were standing to start with. But Ezekiel says here's a righteous man in his righteousness, and now he commits iniquity. Now he turns from the righteousness. He's not going to live in his sin. All the righteousness which he has done shall not be remembered. God's not going to now hold the righteous and say, well, he did a lot of good things in his life, and so this stealing over here, this lying that he did over here, I'm not going to be concerned about that because, you know, he did confess my name. No. I said the righteous man who now begins to commit, he's committing sin. It says, because of the unfaithfulness which he is guilty and the sin which he has committed, because of them he shall die. I'm going to die if I start committing sin. If I don't deal with sin in God's way when sin is found in my life, I'm going to die in my sin. God wants us to practice righteousness. So we studied this, I think, last week. 1 John chapter 2 and 3. He that practices righteousness is righteous. God wants us to have a habit, conduct, a course of life that is righteous before Him, upright and obedient. We certainly can fall from that. We can turn away from that and be lost, die. Luke 8 and verse 13, in the parable of the seed being sown into the soil, into the hearts of men and women, who hear the Word of God, look at what it says. It says, the ones on the rock, seeds that fell on the rock, are those who, when they hear, receive the Word with joy, and these have no root, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation, fall away. Here's some who believe for a while, and they fall away. Could it be that in your life, you've believed for a while, but now God just isn't that important anymore? If that's the case, God's calling you to repentance. God wants to warn you, to caution you, that though you have believed, if you fall away, if in time of temptation you turn away from Him, you're going to lose your soul. Once saved, always saved is a false doctrine. It is not taught in the Bible. Christians can be severed from Christ. We referred to this a minute ago, but let's look at the text, Galatians 5. And really, we could even back up to verse 1, because in verse 1 of Galatians 5, the inspired apostle talks about the freedom we have, the liberty from sin that we have in Christ Jesus. And that we are to no longer be, or not to again entangle ourselves in a yoke of bondage. Now, the yoke of bondage of which he speaks is the bondage of trying to be saved by keeping the law of Moses. That's his context. But there's a principle here that we've got to understand and see. Paul says, I call, say to you, that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. That is, if you bind circumcision, you think you can be circumcised in the flesh, and that's going to affect your salvation, then Christ is profiting you nothing. You can try to keep the law of Moses to be saved. False doctrine. Christ is going to do you no good. I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised, he's a debtor to keep the whole law. Debbie was telling me that some she knows that a woman she knows who's you know tries to keep some of the old law and of course some of the New Testament, and of course that's futile. And her answer, the best she could do when asked, well, what do you do about this verse that says you got to keep all the law? I said, well, we do some of the things. Well, now, unfortunately, that situation, that person's not saved to start with. He's talking to Christians here. He's saying to a Christian now, if you try to be justified by the law of Moses, you become estranged from Christ. Verse 4, you're severed from Christ. You would be justified by the law. You're fallen from grace. We're just here establishing that we can fall. We can be lost. Christians could be severed from Christ then, and they can be today. We need to take seriously what our relationship to God is. Whether or not I'm with Christ, or if I, by my choices of sin, have severed myself from Jesus. If I have, I need to come back to Him. I need to repent. I need to get right with God. I need to start living for Him. Hebrews, the 6th chapter, tells me that if I don't, if I choose to harden my heart, if I tarry and delay and refuse to make things right that ought to be right in my life as a Christian, that in that falling away, I can become unreachable. I can harden my heart to a point of not being reached with the gospel. Hebrews 6:4 says it is that it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift, have become partakers of the Holy Spirit, and have tasted the good word of God and the power of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put Him to an open shame. I don't believe that here the inspired writer is telling us once lost, always lost, any more than the Bible teaches once saved, always saved. But he is teaching us the danger of hardening a heart in falling away from God. That through a hardened heart of a failure to repent, then in that condition, we crucify Christ again, and the gospel no longer reaches us. We get a calloused heart, an unfeeling heart, a heart that may say, I know what the Bible says, but I'm not going to do anything. How many people have come across like that in our lives? I know the Bible says this, but heart, it's hardened. I'm talking about Christians. Christians who develop a heart that will not be touched by truth. Now, the point, of course, is that he is describing Christians here. You know, those who want to reject the Word of God and say, well, if you're a Christian, you can never fall away. They have to address this verse. This verse says, these people were enlightened. Now, it's only light or dark. If you're enlightened, you're in the light. God is light. He's talking about Christians. Tasted the heavenly gift. Now, you know, someone will make a little play on that and say, well, they tasted it. They didn't really drink of it. Well, that's ridiculous. Partakers of the Holy Spirit. Fellowship with the Spirit of God. He's talking about Christians. Fall away, and in their falling away, harden themselves and cannot be reached. It can happen. The caution of the Word of God is beware. Be careful. It's entirely possible. And there are many, many other verses that teach the same point. But quickly consider some examples. Again, we won't read through all these, but I just want to remind you, Israel, in our study of Israel in the Old Testament, we have already seen over and over again a people who said, we believe God and we will obey God, in Exodus 24:7. The law was read to them, the covenant was established, they said, we will be obedient. And 40 days later, they said, come on, Aaron, take all this gold and fashion us a calf that we can
worship, right? For this Moses, we don't know what's happened to him. He's gone up into that mountain, and for all we know, he's dead now. And God said, these people have turned, your people, Moses, have turned aside quickly. Turned aside, turned away from me. Israel is an example of falling away as a nation. The point that only two in that wilderness survived to enter the land of promise. The next generation went in. Jeremiah 3 talks about backsliding Israel and backsliding Judah.
Turning to the idols and the adultery that God said that was. They were committing adultery against God in worshiping the idols of the land. And Christians today worship and serve the idols of the land. We backslide, we slide away from God. Idols of the land, the love of money, the love of self, the love of pleasure. You see, it doesn't have to be of wood and stone to be an idol, to be a false god that we elevate in our hearts. What do we serve? What is the most important thing to us in our life?
What is it in your life that's the most important thing? That you put the most value in, that if you had to choose between it and anything else in the world, that would be what you choose. Would it be to be a faithful Christian to Jesus? To do His will above everything else? Is that the most important thing? Or is it something else? These are choices. Choices we all make. And choices that bear upon, am I going to stand faithfully or am I going to fall away from the living God? Look at Simon Peter. Peter said, Lord, I will never deny you. Won't do it. Lord said he would, and he did. There, the pressure of the peers, of being drawn in and himself being put on trial or worse, caused him to deny with a curse that he knew Jesus. In Galatians 2, he stood condemned in his hypocrisy in Antioch. There's many examples of apostasy, of falling away. He was restored. Unlike Judas, who in his sin hung himself. See, we have a choice to make. We find ourselves, we know that at this moment in our lives, we're not right with God. We have a choice. We can be like Judas, or we can be like Simon. We can have a sorrow over our sin that brings us to repentance, or we can just say, it's not worth it. And cast it all aside and lose our souls forever. We may not go out and put a rope around our neck, but just as well tie a millstone around ourselves and cast ourselves into the ocean because we're going to be lost eternally without repentance. Choice is ours. The examples are before us. Which one will we follow? Simon, the sorcerer in Acts 8. Obeyed the gospel. He believed. Heard Philip preach about the kingdom of Christ. He believed and was baptized. And he continued with Philip. And he was amazed when he saw the signs that were done. And then he saw that by the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given. And he offered them money, saying, give me also this power that whomsoever I lay my hands on, he may receive the Holy Spirit.
Peter said, you haven't made your partner a lot in this matter. Your heart is not right before God. He said, you need to repent of this wickedness. Pray God will forgive the thought of your heart because you're in the gall of bitterness and the bond of iniquity. In his sin, this Christian, this young Christian's sin, jeopardized his eternal life. He was out of harmony with God. He was in sin at the moment. He needed to change his heart. He needed to repent. Could be there's a sin in your life. Could be you're a young Christian, but you've sinned against God. Understand and know that you leave that unattended. Without repenting and confessing it to God and changing your heart and life to conform to God's will. And like Simon, you would be lost. He repented. But if he hadn't, he'd have been lost. That was the warning of the apostle. You're in the gall of bitterness. You're in the bond of iniquity. You're bound up by sin. You're a bitter taste in the mouth of God. And you need to repent and pray God that all your heart be forgiven you. See, he could fall away. We need to understand, we need to remember, we can fall away, brethren. If our heart's not right, if our attitudes are not right,
we sin against God. And in that sin, we lose our souls.
Fornicator was in the church of Corinth. Be a good illustration of some of the things we studied in the adult class this morning. He was among them. He had his father's wife, and they had not put him away. Paul said, I've already judged what should be done. You need to discipline this man. You need to deliver him to Satan for the destruction of the flesh so his spirit can be saved. You need to bring your discipline to bear to try to save the man's soul. He's lost. He's fallen away. And in that discipline, his soul was rescued, 2 Corinthians 2. Now, we're just looking at examples of people who fell away. Hymenaeus and Alexander made shipwreck concerning their faith.
1 Timothy 1, verses 18 through 20. This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies provided previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare, having faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected concerning the faith, who suffer shipwreck, of whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I delivered to Satan that they might learn not to blaspheme. These two men had shipwrecked their faith. They rejected faith and good conscience. They had been overwhelmed in sin, and in their sin they were lost, and they were being an influence of evil on others. They fell away.
Paul wanted their salvation, so I delivered them to Satan to teach them, he said. Teach them not to blaspheme. Bring them to repentance.
The Laodiceans in Revelation 3, we need to maybe think about them in this respect.
We're familiar with their situation, but let's think about it in this respect. They were coming to worship services. They were assembling with the saints. They were singing songs to God and praying prayers to God. Weren't they? Why, every indication is they were, because they were of the attitude, well, we've got everything. This is the church of the Laodiceans. And yet, they're lukewarm. They're putrid in the mouth of Jesus. He says, I vomit you out. I want you to repent. They didn't know. They didn't understand. They were lost. But they were singing to God. They were praying to God. They were hearing preaching from God's Word. They were lost. They needed to repent. Jesus said, as many as I love, I rebuke. That's not the message of Joel Osteen. His message is God loves you. I'm not going to spend time rebuking you. I'm just going to tell you God loves you. But Jesus said, if I love you, I rebuke you. I rebuke you because I want you to repent. I want you to be zealous. I want you to be right with God.
See, Christians can be doing all the things God says to do and be lost if the heart's not right and their hearts weren't right. And we need to realize that can happen to us just as well. That can happen right here to me, to you, to this entire congregation. It can happen. And we've got to be cautious for ourselves and for each other, to help one another and to be on guard for one another, lest we fall away. Well, different causes of apostasy, I suppose, that we can enumerate from Scripture. Luke 8 and 13 talks about times of temptation, times of trial, times of testing. It may be a temptation to overtly sin. It may be a trial of faith to remain faithful in the face of a hardship. You see, but those who receive the word there on the rocks, and that's that verse again, on the rocky soil. Remember the seed it sprang up, but then it withered when it got hot and so forth. Well, get over there with you again, Luke 8:13. These are the ones who hear and they receive the word with joy, but these have no roots. They believe for a while. But in time of temptation, in time of trial, fall away.
We face times of temptation, brethren. We all do. Every one of us. It could be a temptation to sin with our eyes. It could be the temptation of sinning through the love of money. It could be the trial of a physical ailment. It could be the trial of a physical ailment of a loved one. We all face times of trial. Now, the question is, will we in that time of trial fall away or draw closer to God? The call of the gospel is to stay close to God, have a heart, a good and honest heart, that even in the time of trial, we look to Jesus. We don't look to ourselves. We look to His strength and the endurance that we need to overcome. And in Him we will. You see, that's faith. That's trusting Him. But if we let, in times of trial, if we let that overwhelm the Word of God in our hearts and be drawn away and fall away from the living God, what we need to be doing about the business to prevent that is we need to be growing. We need to be growing in Christ Jesus. Look at 2 Peter 1, 5 through 11 with me, please. He talks about a lot of things in that passage that would be adding to our faith. Saving faith, we rightly observe as an obedient faith, but as you see it in this text, a saving faith is a mature faith. Yes, it's an obedient faith, but look how it obeys. It obeys by a diligence to be virtuous. And to have, that is, the moral courage is what that's talking about, and a knowledge that helps us exercise self-control and perseverance and godliness and brotherly kindness and love. If things are, these are yours and abound, then he says you're neither idle nor unfruitful. You're not barren nor unfruitful in knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, for he who lacks these things is short-sighted. Even to blindness, he's forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Here's a Christian who doesn't grow and has forgotten the previous cleansing. That's the state of falling away. That's that condition. But, he says, if you be more diligent, verse 10, do these things, add these all these attributes of faith, bring your faith to a maturity. He says, you make your calling and election sure, verse 10. For if you do these things, you'll never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, that's the prevention of falling away in time of testing, is grow our faith, strengthen our faith. Use the Word of God to teach us when should I have moral courage? What situations in life are required of me? To put Jesus first, and whatever it is, in word, or with peers, or on the job, whatever the practical application of the specific moment, in dealing with an illness, courage, moral courage is needed, that we don't lose heart. Self-control when tested, and on. You see, we can fall away, but God says here now to prevent it. When you're tempted, keep your faith strong. Look at growing in your faith. Why is it some people, when they start having trials in their life, they stop their contact with brethren, they stop worshiping God? That doesn't help strengthen. That just weakens more. And so the cause, times of trial, times of temptation, can be overcome. Actually, this takes us back to 1 Corinthians 10:13. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above as you are able, but will with the temptation make also the way of escape, that you may be able to endure. You can endure. You can endure whatever you are facing right now in your life. You can endure it through faith in Jesus. That's the promise. That's the confidence that we have in Christ. And it's not a blind one. It's one that's built upon truth and the Word of God. Worldliness is a temptation that causes some Christians, to fall away. Go back to the parable with me, please. Luke 8 and 14 says, the ones that fell among the thorns, the seed, are those who, when they have heard, that is, they've heard the gospel, they go out and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of life and bring no fruit to maturity. So here is the lack of maturity, due to the pleasures, the draw, the allurement of the world.
James 4:4 warns Christians. He says, adulterers and adulteresses, don't you know the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whoever would be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. The world is against the purposes of God.
Serving the God of this world, the devil.
Transgressing the will of God. And so the world offers its allurements, its enticements, and it dresses up real nice.
You know, it dresses up and looks real good.
Pleasure, you know, pleasing to the eye. Desires to make one wise. Good for food. All those temptations Satan used with Eve, he uses for us. And Christians can succumb at times.
What are we going to do to prevent that?
We've got to keep our mind set on things above. Colossians 3. Not on things from the earth.
We live in the world, but we cannot be of it. Our values have to be different from the world. The call of the gospel is to be set apart. Seek things above, where Christ is
seated at the right hand of God. False doctrine causes Christians to fall away.
1 Timothy 4:1-3 is a prime verse that shows not only that Christians can fall away, but the source of that falling away can be false teaching, can be false doctrine. It said, the Spirit says expressly that in latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons.
Doctrine does matter.
One of the reasons I can go back and look at the transcript of this Osteen interview is because he was asked about that Mormon doctrine about Jesus. And he said, well, I don't really get involved in those little things. Doctrine, that's just a little thing. He says, it's verbatim to the sermon this morning. He said, well, Lonnie says, I believe Jesus is my Savior, and that's good enough for me, he said. Osteen said. Well, that just says doctrine doesn't matter.
Amen.
And that's what a lot of people believe. And there's a lot of people in Churches of Christ who believe it.
And that's where my particular concern is tonight with you, is for us to know that it does matter.
When we develop an attitude toward doctrine, toward revelation, that it doesn't really matter, then how are we any better off than Joel Osteen? How is it? We cannot be. We can't.
We've got to realize there is a truth. It's revealed. It belongs to Jesus. It's His doctrine. And if I don't abide in it, I'm lost.
And the gospel says, hold fast to wholesome doctrine, sound doctrine. 1 Timothy 6:3-5.
Causes of apostasy, other sources of salvation. Trying to be justified in that text, we studied it, looked at it a minute ago, trying to be saved by the law of Moses.
Trying to be saved by some other source than Jesus and He alone.
As we studied this morning, He's the only one who can save us. So if we look to any other source, even as Christians, if we think that just by being here every Sunday, let's make the application. If I just think that I can be here and you know, be here and sing some songs and pray a prayer or two, and everything's okay as a Christian in my life, but I never pray, I never show kindness to others, I never read the Bible, I never try to teach somebody the Word of God, I never give like I'm prospered, am I going to be saved? Do I really think that's being a Christian that God is pleased with? Of course not. But we can be deceived. See, we can be lulled into complacency. We can fall away from the living God. Beware, friend, lest in any of you there develop an evil heart of unbelief and falling away from the living God. You see, we're all susceptible. Every one of us. And we must be careful. Hardened hearts. You see, the evil heart of unbelief, harden not your heart, and falling away from the living God. The deceitfulness of sin, he says, hardens hearts.
Well, it does. Sin hardens hearts. It doesn't keep our heart turned toward God.
doesn't keep our heart willing, you see,
open to God. When I choose
conduct that God says is sin, that violates His will for me, then I am choosing to close my heart from God. And it doesn't really matter how much I say, oh, I believe in God. Oh, my heart's turned toward God. If in my life I am sinning against God, then what I'm really doing is hardening myself. I'm putting a shell around my heart so it cannot be reached. God can't reach my heart with His Word because I refuse. I refuse Him. And in that refusing, I've fallen away. I've developed unbelief. I no longer believe in God. Now, I disbelieve. Now, I have an evil heart of unbelief. So the answer is, harden not your hearts. Chapter 3, 7 and 8. Harden not your heart as the people in the wilderness did. It says, today if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness, when your fathers tested me and tried me and saw my works 40 years.
If we're going to prevent falling away, brethren, we must establish our hearts to hear God. Willing, ready, obedient
to what God says, what His Word says, what His Gospel says for us. The Christian's remedy for apostasy is to repent of your sin. In Acts 8, 22, Simon, the Christian who had sinned and was in his sin and lost in his sin, was told to repent, therefore, of this your wickedness. See, this is a choice you made, Simon. It's your wickedness, and you need to repent of it. Pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. It's your thought, your thinking that you've expressed, and God knows your heart, and your words have expressed that heart, and in your sin you must repent and pray, or you're gonna be lost forever.
Whether it's a commandment to one who's not a Christian to repent initially to become a Christian, or the Christian now who turns back to sin. The Christian, the remedy is repent, pray God, confess your sin to God. If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin.
So sometimes people worry about, well, is there a sin that I can commit that I'd never be forgiven of? And the only one that I know of that in that category is a sin that I choose to not repent of. If I choose to harden my heart and to reject the call of the gospel, then in that hardness, I'll continue in my sin and be lost. But if I come to God with a repentant heart, of godly sorrow, that then changes my conduct, God will hear my confession of sin as a Christian and He'll forgive me. That's His promise to us as Christians, seeking His forgiveness to then change our life. Change our life. Look at James 5, 19 and 20. James said, in closing his epistle, brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth. Now look, wandering from truth, that's falling away. That's stepping away, departing from the living God. If anyone wanders from the truth among you, anyone's among you, but they wander from the truth, and someone turns him back, let him know who he turns a sinner from the error of his way. Look, here's a sinner in a way of error because they wandered from truth, and now you turn him back, you save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins.
So here's a Christian who wanders away and is lost in that error, who needs to be turned back. Sins need to be forgiven. The soul needs to be rescued from the sin, from the death.
See, we can fall, but if we will turn back to truth,
if we will change our life, restored, return to our first love, Revelation 2:5,
God will receive us. So, the Word doesn't say that once you've fallen away, you can never return, but it says, be careful lest you do fall away.
But if you've chosen a path that has caused you to fall away from God tonight, repent. As a child of God, as a Christian, you repent tonight. You change your heart now about the sin of your life. And you confess that to God. You pray to God, God, I've sinned against you. I've made choices that have taken me away from you. Forgive me. Help me come back to truth. Help me live in truth. Help me to obey you every day. Make those choices. Live for Jesus every day. Strengthen yourself in Christ. Walk in His truth. And God will have great things in plan for you. God will use you to His purposes and His glory. And you'll go to heaven when all is said and done. And that's the hope we have. We stand in the grace of Christ and we rejoice in that hope because it's assured when our faith is in Christ Jesus. If you need to repent as a Christian, we urge you to do it now. If you're not a Christian, become one now. You're lost until you become a Christian. Then as a Christian, be faithful. Be true to Him. Make things right if things are not right. We urge you to obey the gospel while we stand and we sing.